This is The Record. I'm Steve Scherr.
I'm Marcy Silman. So what do you do when your longtime employer abruptly decides to close the place where you work? If you are the editor of Gourmet Magazine, one of America's most influential food publications, well, you write a novel. And that's what Ruth Reichel did when Condé Nast shut down her magazine with no warning. This novel, Reichel's first, is called Delicious, and it's about a young writer at a food magazine that shuts down abruptly. Sound familiar? In addition to years of food journalism, Ruth Reichel is the author of three successful memoirs. So I was kind of curious why she decided to try her hand at fiction.
I love fiction. I could live without just about anything. You know, if I never got another item of clothing, wouldn't bother me. Furniture, I don't care about. But if I couldn't read fiction, I don't think I'd want to be alive. And I really wanted to try to see if I could give other people the kind of pleasure that I've gotten from fiction. I mean, I believe that stories are really important, that they're a very necessary part of life.
How come you haven't delved into it before?
You know, I've been a daily journalist for most of my career, and you need a kind of I'm sure there are people who can write fiction while they do a day job, but I realized early on that I needed a kind of quiet to really listen for the voices. And I always said, you know, as soon as I don't have a day job, this is what I'm going to do.
The fact that you didn't have a day job was not necessarily by choice. Gourmet Magazine, much like Delicious Magazine in this book, shut down abruptly. But you did not start writing this book right away.
No, I didn't. Oddly, when I was in Seattle on book tour for the Gourmet Cookbook.
Really?
Yes. When I got a call saying you have to cut your book tour short and come back to New York. And I found out that it was closing. So I'm very happy to be back in Seattle under better circumstances.
Maybe they're going to reopen the magazine now that you're here. Wow. How much notice did they give you?
None. I mean, they just said come back to New York. They didn't tell me why. And I thought I was going to get fired. I did not in a million years dream that they would close the magazine.
You have told interviewers that Delicious, with an exclamation mark, which is the name of this novel, isn't autobiographical, but it is about a magazine that is closed abruptly. The protagonist is not exactly you, but is somebody who works at a magazine. How is it different?
Okay, Billy is so not me. I mean,
Billy's the protagonist.
She is the protagonist. And it's basically a coming of age novel, but I chose to take this young girl who's in, you know, she's had a terrible loss. And, I mean, that's what you do, right? You take your character and you put them in jeopardy and see how they work out of it. And I wanted to put her in the most nurturing environment I could think of. And I thought of two. And one was a food magazine. There's something about working in magazines that's not like any other kind of work. It's totally collaborative. And for a really good magazine, you need a really tight crew. And I thought, you know, if Billy had shown up, this young girl who's very shut down but is passionate about food and has this great talent, this kind of perfect flavor pitch, the people at the magazine would rally around her, would really, you know, try and figure out who she was and befriend her. And the other environment that I just, you know, find warm and nurturing is this Italian cheese shop.
Which is also in the book.
Yes, and she goes to work there on her weekends. And again, this family really sees her in a way she doesn't see herself.
You could have written a novel set in either one of these places, not both. Is it because you couldn't decide which one you liked better?
I had a lot of aspirations for what the message of this book would be, and I needed both. There's a subplot in the book that has to do with Italian Americans, and I really wanted both a contemporary Italian American family of you know, the most wonderful, warm, nurturing kind. And then I wanted one during World War II, and I sort of wanted to contrast that.
I'm talking with Ruth Reichel, She has spent most of her career writing nonfiction about food, restaurant reviews. You know Gourmet Magazine, or maybe you know her from the New York Times, or maybe you knew her when she was a cook. That's how your food career started out.
It did.
We're talking about this novel, and you say it is mostly a work of fiction. There is one real person. He's not exactly in it, but James Beard is in it via a correspondence that Billy stumbles upon.
I mean, there was a real genesis of putting James Beard in it. One was that I knew him. The second was I thought that had he gotten this cry for help from a little girl during World War II, of all the food writers working then, he was the one who would have been most likely to have replied. He was very generous with his readers. He was a guy who loved to be loved. And I could absolutely imagine this long-distance relationship.
But in fact, this correspondence is totally fictional. It's only James Beard who was real.
Yes. And you never hear from James. I mean, he looms very large in the book, but in fact, he never says a word.
There is a lot of history in this book. You mentioned the sort of subplot about Italian Americans. World War II figures largely in the book. I mean, there's a lot of ways that you could have taken this book without the ambition that you had for it. So I'm curious, when you set out and you think, okay, I'm going to write a novel, was it a novel about character? Did you have these other ideas that you wanted to put into it?
Two things happened. I had found this whole trove of ephemera from World War II and been fascinated by it, and fascinated by the fact that this was the one time in the entire history of America where everybody ate together because rationing and because food was considered your patriotic duty.
People ate weird stuff.
They ate weird, terrible stuff. You know, I mean, they were foraging and, you know, there were no eggs and nobody could eat butter and meat was severely rationed.
The character Lulu, the correspondent in World War II, goes out to, I believe she's harvesting crops, right?
Yes, there was something called the Women's Land Army and the Crop Conservation Corps. The farmers were at war. And not only the country had to be fed, but the soldiers had to be fed. So, you know, Roosevelt said, food is one of the fronts of the war. Mm. And 1.5 million women came from all over the country to harvest the crops in the summer.
Were you daunted at all by starting out on the novel?
I was. And I actually had to write one novel and throw it out.
Oh.
Because I realized that I had to know everybody's backstory, and I wrote, you know, way too long in meticulous detail everything that happened to everyone. And then I realized, now I know who my characters are. The readers don't need to know this. I do. And I started again. And at that point, it was so much fun because the characters at that point were really real to me. And I went into my studio every day and it was like, what's going to happen to Billy today? And the characters, once I had them firmly fixed in my head, they surprised me every day. Huh. They did things I was not anticipating that they would do, turned into different people.
Is it more freeing for you to write fiction than all the years that you've written nonfiction?
Well, you know what it's like is I write in my last memoir, Garlic and Sapphires, about the disguises I wore when I was the restaurant critic of the New York Times. Wearing those disguises was like writing fiction. It was turning myself into someone else. And what I discovered then is that when you look like someone else, inside you're just you, but people respond to you as that person, and suddenly you become this person you're pretending to be. Hmm. So I feel like that was my practice for writing fiction.
Will you return to memoir?
Right now, I'm working on another novel, but I have a contract to also write the memoir of the gourmet years.
Including the end of gourmet?
Actually, I've just turned in a cookbook, which starts with the end of gourmet. It's a sort of cookbook memoir, and it opens with the closing of gourmet and talks about what it was a terrible time.
I would imagine so.
I mean, you know, I had 60 people working with me, all of whom lost their jobs. It really feels like I should have been able to do something. I shouldn't have had all those people lose their jobs on my watch.
Have you recovered from that experience?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what this cookbook is about how I went back into the kitchen after years of leading this very luxurious life at Gourmet, and then I turned back into a pumpkin and went into the kitchen and suddenly realized that all that other stuff didn't matter and that cooking was so grounding for me.
If you had one recipe that was your recipe that makes you feel better to make it, what would it be?
Chicken soup, actually. You know, I mean, just having stock, you know, first of all, it makes your house smell so wonderful. And you're kind of making something out of nothing. I mean, you're creating something out of bones. And then you have this elixir that you can do anything with. You can make risotto, you can make stock, you can make sauces. When people feel bad, coming into a house that has that scent of really rich chicken stock is very soothing.
Hear, hear. Love that chicken stock. Former Gourmet magazine executive editor Ruth Reichel, her first novel is called Delicious. It's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.